calling Domino's. Can I take your order?
Yes, I'd like to order a large pizza with extra mushrooms, because we just watched Fungicide on
B-Mushroom Mania!
Terrible.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
Hello and welcome to B-Movie Mania, the podcast where low budgets meet high praise. I'm Jason Hulls, and with me tonight are three other guys who are going to help me put the fun in fungicide. Chris Hudson.
Is it fungicide or fungicide? I couldn't quite figure that out.
Paul Brooks.
I'm Paul Brooks.
Mike Hayes.
What?
What was that?
I think that was Mike signing off this podcast.
Oh, is that Mike's dead and so he's not going to talk?
He's Mike Hayes.
All right.
I think we'll see where this goes. I think I saw Major Wang kill him with that machete.
I like Major Wang.
Guys, hello? Oh, my God.
Oh, he's back.
You okay, Mike?
No, I tried to kill myself.
Why?
But the bullet, because, fungicide.
Mike, can you hold on at least until quick takes?
Yeah, you gotta let us know what you thought of it.
All right. Okay. So let me get through the synopsis real quick. Mike's bleeding out. What happens when a crazed scientist gets a forced weekend away at a bed and breakfast? Mushrooms and mayhem. Death stalks the shocked guests as mushrooms of all shapes and sizes run rampant through the woods. So that's your basic IMDb description. Background.
Was he forced? He was forced to go on that vacation?
His parents kind of like booked it for him.
Yeah, I thought his mom was just being nice. Like getting their son out of the basement.
True. He was pretty dedicated though.
Yeah.
So I want to just get through the background real quick, because I know when we get into the plot, things are going to get ugly, at least until Mike bleeds out and dies. This was shot, okay, it was released in 2002. So, I mean, it's older, and it was from the mind of David Wascavage in his Troubled Moon films. Dave didn't know anything about filmmaking. This was his
first movie.
Wow. That's...
Shocker, I know. He wanted something fun to learn with, so him and his wife came up with this killer mushroom idea. And fun bit of trivia I learned today, the title came from his wife Mary, because she went to a hairdresser and saw the word fungicide written on a jar that they use to keep like brushes clean at the hairdresser. So she came back and was like, hey, how about fungicide?
Yeah, it's a real term.
Were they already writing the movie before she saw that? Or was that just
Well, they had decided on the concept.
Hold on.
Oh boy, here we go.
Jay, I need to stop you right now for this bullshit you're trying to put out here. You are mispronouncing the title to fungicide, which is A, not how you pronounce it. So obviously you're trying to do some sort of weird fucking shit where we think we had fun while watching this fucking thing. It's not fungicide, it's fungicide.
I'm trying to implant fun in your head.
Yeah, well, I know you are, and you're not going to get your spores into me.
There is a theme song.
All right, fungicide.
Right? There is a theme song.
Yeah, there is definitely a theme song.
And what are they saying in it?
I'm going to pronounce it the way they do it in the song.
Which is what?
Chris, can you give us a little taste?
Fungicide.
God damn it.
It's fungicide.
Nowhere to hide. Now that brings me up to a good point. Is she saying there's nowhere to hide or nowhere to hide?
Like you gotta know where to hide when this happens.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great question. I kind of think maybe they wrote it so that you could interpret it either way.
No, they didn't.
That's
no. It's It's nowhere to hide. Like, you have, you can't hide from the fungicide. Fungicide, as it's supposed to be pronounced.
Okay.
God, but what about, it. I mean,
fucking fuck.
But there's a, whole, I know we'll get into this a second. I'm sorry, Jay.
No, that's okay.
You know, what if it's about knowing where to hide, because a large element of this movie is knowledge and absorbing knowledge. So maybe this is, you know, a sort of a double meaning here.
Fuck you, Paul.
I'm just really trying to see how long we can talk about this one line from the song. I want it to go for like 20 minutes. It's
undecided. I'm also going to base my rating probably 90% on that song.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. So overall, just the rest of the little few production facts here, so that the listeners at home know exactly what we're getting into here. They spent about 40 hours shooting this movie over one weekend, like a Friday night to a Sunday. That's
not a lot.
No, it's not. They got a whole feature done. It's about 75 minutes long. The camera was like a high eight. And they said they dropped it a bunch. The budget, I think I hinted at the budget. Does anybody remember what the budget, what I said the budget was?
$7. Sub and Subway sandwiches.
12,000?
Close.
I thought it was 140 bucks.
Yeah, it was actually, I found out clarification today, it was $142.
No.
Including food.
No.
And Dave Wiscavige said it would have been $3 cheaper, but nobody wanted him to have a used toilet brush for the scene where the guy beats the mushroom with a toilet brush, so he had to buy a new one for $3.
You can't blame him for that.
No, you can't blame him.
Does that figure include tax?
The taxes for Pennsylvania, where they shot it, I think are pretty cheap. So, you know, when you're in someone's backyard.
Quick takes!
Let's do this. Now, Mike. Mike, I'm going to let you know right now, I'm going to get the quick takes going. Now, I'm going to save you for last, because you might have the most to say.
Yeah.
Chris, what was your quick take for this?
My quick take was really the realization that I will never get this time back that I spent watching this movie, but I'm kind of okay with it, really. I mean, the song made it all worthwhile.
Okay, and you know, the song kind of comes at the end, so you were probably like, oh man, I want to slam my head in a door. And
pretty then much.
You heard the song, you're like, oh, that wasn't
bad. Yeah, that wasn't bad at all.
Okay, Paul, what about you?
I made a very big mistake. Saturday afternoon and evening, I was trying to get caught up on Game of Thrones, so I watched the last two episodes of Game of Thrones from season 6, directly followed by Fungicide. And the contrast was stark. Very stark.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah, you like that?
Yes. Okay, well, my quick take, basically, this movie, it is Night of the Living Dead with mushrooms. Even for, like, your hardcore B-movie fans, it's really not for the faint of heart. And you're basically watching somebody make something for no money. But I laughed a lot, and I think that's kind of what they were going for.
Like, let's be very clear here. This is without question the worst movie we've reviewed on this podcast so far.
Remember, we had Amazing Bulk, right? Like, Amazing Bulk looks like Oscar material compared to this.
This is, like, they said, hey, let's make a movie like The Amazing Bulk, but not with any money.
You know, see, I disagree. I think they made this movie look a hell of a lot better than The Amazing Bulk on much less of a budget.
Okay, well, interesting.
Fuck off.
Mike,
all
right, give it to us.
All right,
we know you hated this. What is it?
Just
what's your quick take?
Guys, just listen. Okay, so here's I have no problem with the fact that this was made on a shoestring budget by some high school or college kids doing whatever they wanted to do. I did that in college and high school. I made a bunch of horror movies with some friends that we shot on, you know, a high eight, you know, video camera, and we did all that. And it's all real, real, real bad. But guess what? I haven't fucking put it on Amazon Prime. You know why? Because it's fucking real, real, real bad. The thing is, you watch it, and I get like, oh, I can understand some of it, and some of the visuals, for the most part, are funny and great. but some of the goddamn jokes are so fucking unbelievable. Like, they're jokes for joke's sake, and the jokes are not good. And guess what? Spoiler alert, season two of this podcast is going to have fucking St. Patrick's Slay, because fuck off, Jay. Okay, only if I don't bleed out after this.
You want to inform our listeners what St. Patrick's Slay is?
Oh, he's dead.
You know, while Mike dies, I just want to say that I think a lot of Mike's problem with this movie comes down to jealousy that he didn't get his shitty movies from 20 years ago onto Amazon Prime.
Hudson, I could if I wanted to. If I felt like I wanted to kill humanity.
Well, you know, in medieval times, they used to treat gunshot wounds with mushrooms. So, Mike?
I'm fine. Guys, I'm fine. Guys, it's okay. I'm fine. It was a YouTube clip. I'm cool. Don't mushroom me.
I think it's worth pointing out, actually, that Mike was the first of us to watch this movie. He watched it early last week, and he was holed up in a hotel room, and he started messaging us on Facebook and just absolutely going off. Like, I have never heard him before, and I've known him for 2 years. So it was, I don't know what happened, but buddy, you just snapped.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, usually you're the guy that watches this kind of stuff. Like
I
this
am.
Is definitely in the bulk end of the pool, the amazing bulk end of the pool.
No, this is this. Well, yeah. Well, okay. If we're comparing it to the bulk, yes, it is in that garbage pile sort of zone, but. What I think what really bugged me about this movie was the jokes. Like,
okay.
The real, real bad jokes.
Okay. Well, I think it was a unique thing for me because you kept messaging us and you're like, guys, no, no. And so I'm like, all right, I've never seen Mike do this. I was laying in bed. I got on my phone. I watched the first 5 minutes of Fungicide, and I'm like, there's no way we're not doing this. We're absolutely doing this.
But it takes 20 minutes to get even to a no, 30 minutes to get to a fucking mushroom, first of all.
Hey, Mike, I just want to say one thing. Does it help you knowing that I think, like, this entire movie was written for one joke near the end?
No, it doesn't help.
Because that kind of made it for me.
Okay. So, if we're going to break this down... we start in with a montage of forests and streams. It's just like fading.
Hold the fuck on, Jay.
We're not even getting into it yet.
Jay, did you say the word montage? Because that's a real strong word for anything in this.
Okay. How would you like to put it? Mike, go ahead. How does this movie start?
Someone shit a forest on the screen.
Okay. It's clearly like someone's backyard forest.
I'd say someone who really discovered how to make sort of acid trippy effects.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that whole thing. I'm going to use another big film word for a second. So hold on to your butt. It is juxtaposed with the O-face of Silas.
No.
It keeps fading into Silas and back to Woods. And Silas is like our bad guy, right? Like, he's the mad scientist.
Jay, what was the mise-en-scene like? Do you think there was a
promise? I think I'm done. I don't think I have any more of that in my notes, Mike. It's all going downhill from here.
Were the motifs okay?
I just want to say that if anyone wants to recreate this Silas's experiments to bring mushrooms to sentience, that I think a big part of the formula is ejaculate.
Clearly.
Going by Silas's face, the way he stirs that test tube and the way the beakers overflow. And he brought his O-face to the lab this
It's a
this
bit
morning.
Creamy. You're right. It's a bit creamy.
Well, okay. And so Aaron was watching this with me.
Are you getting a divorce?
No, we're still together. She thought it was funny.
Did she?
Well, sort of in that, oh my God, kind of way. Like, not like... truly funny, but so she was watching this and Silas is mixing all these chemicals together and stuff, and he's got his protective glasses and his coat, and she's like, well, if you have all that, you don't touch all the stuff with your bare hands.
Yeah.
He was just like into it with his bare hands, and then he was like wiping his face over and over again. So I'm like, that's maybe some bad science there.
He just likes the feel of the glass against his skin.
I think so. And he's spilling it, right? Like, he's spilling
it's getting all over the place. His parents have a huge mess to clean up.
Paul, you want to talk about the parents?
I would love to talk about the parents. Are you kidding me? First of all, the whole movie, really, in case you haven't seen it, which you should, is, Mike said, shot on high eight. And so it just has this feeling of, like, you got Vaseline on your eyes the entire time. And for whatever reason, about half of the movie has this white box around it the entire time.
Dear God.
And the other half, it has a black box around it.
Yes.
Yeah, and the aspect ratio is all over the place. It switches, like, constantly and without really any sort of explanation. So I just want to say
not really any sort. There's no explanation.
Right. But I just want to mention that just to sort of set the tone for everybody to truly understand the depths of depravity that we're going through by watching this film. But the parents, and really I'm glad you asked me that, Jay, because that's the moment I knew I was really going to enjoy this movie.
God damn it.
It was like, yes, this is the vibe I was hoping for. It's just a couple of old folks, you know, with a newspaper circling some wanted ads upside down, just trying to help their son out, trying to get him out of the basement with his experiments, get him, you know, a nice relaxing weekend somewhere, and just trying to make that happen because they love their son.
Yeah, can I interject?
I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of that, so.
The problem with the upside down newspaper is, you know, someone went, wouldn't it be funny? and you can go fuck off for that.
Look, it is very, very clear that they were trying to have fun with this. They were not taking themselves seriously.
Yeah, because their fucking actual son was forcing them to be in a goddamn fuck shit.
He gave his parents a special guest.
That was his actual parents, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And actually, Paul, let me just echo something you said, because when I watched, like I said, I watched the first few minutes of this, and I thought, okay, this is going to be funny. When I saw the shot, how it was framed, where, like, they're circling the stuff on the paper, and the dad was, like, half obscured by, like, a vase of flowers that nobody bothered to move. I'm like, this is going to be funny. Like, this is going to be great.
This is what I wanted.
Yeah. So
you guys only like this to spite me, because I watched it first, and you saw my reaction.
I want to be very clear with you that that's not what this is about. Like,
this is what this is.
Okay, listen. What did I pick for the 5th annual 24-hour B-movie marathon for the late-night shitter block? I picked fucking V-World Matrix. I love this shit. Are you kidding me?
Well, let's see where it goes in the ratings later. But for now, Silas puts one vial, after all this chemical mixing, he puts one vial in a comically large protective case.
There's no way.
It's not meant any for case. Vials. Not just any case. It's clearly the case for the video camera that they're using to shoot the movie.
Yes.
He puts it in the spot the camera goes in. It just rolls around inside the case. It's not going to protect anything.
So, Chris, could you talk a little bit about the transition to the mountain forest environment?
Oh, God. Okay, beautiful. Well, first of all, I think the resort Silas's parents booked him at is CGI Mountain. Sorry, poor CGI Mountain.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Yes. It was a CGI mountain that looked... It was... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
bad.
And it just kind of goes on for a while of shots of driving and forests and...
We meet Jade, right?
Like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Jade. See, I thought her name was Jean. I couldn't hear... The quality of the audio was so bad, I thought her
really
name was
bad.
Jean.
It's really bad audio. Yeah.
So Jade...
It's not synced.
So Jade is, like, dusting the quote-unquote resort, which is somebody's house, really. And she's dusting candles, those dirty, dirty candles, that filthy lamp that she's got. She's just dusting. She dusts the camera that they're filming with.
What did you think about her visions that she had? Because that's the first point. She has, like, a vision of the future.
Well, confusing. You know, seeing that does not play out at all. They're just throwing in. I don't think the director quite knew how to edit. And that's just like, that's just where they stopped the video, and then for some reason it skipped ahead about 3 seconds, and they continued recording video.
Yeah, it was a little weird. You're right though. Those visions never, like, she has, the maid Jade has psychic visions of the future, but they never pay off. They never, that never goes anywhere.
Well, she's not just the maid. I mean, she's sort of the, she owns the place or takes care of the place.
Yeah, she's the owner of the resort, if you want to call it that.
I have to say, in this scene, though, there's one thing that they show that does pay off, is she dusts a little toy sword that's hanging on the wall.
Yes.
And that is used in the third act. So.
It's true. Introduce it in act one, use it by act three.
Yep.
So I'm a little scared to do this, but Mike, after we introduce Jade, we introduce the bro driving in the convertible named Titus.
Oh, why are you asking me about him?
Well, let's talk about Titus and his introduction.
Titus is a frat bro.
No. He's a wrestler. He's a professional wrestler.
I'll do a half Nelson on your punk ass.
And he just needs a little R&R. He just needs to get away from the business a little bit.
Does somebody remember what his condition is? He has to take pills.
He has a condition where if he doesn't take his pills, at least what we're told towards the beginning of the film, he has a spontaneous combustion issue.
See, I just thought that was a lie. I didn't believe him when he said that.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. Trust me, I didn't
either. Yeah, no one did. He also said it kind of snarky, like, spontaneous combustion. You're like, you're not supposed to believe him. But
Well, he said it like he thought he was acting.
Well, I don't know much about his acting, but he's wearing some really sweet jean shorts.
John Cena would be proud.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And as soon as he meets Jade, she kind of starts just ripping on the wrestling business, immediately.
I got to say, though, in Titus's...
Rightfully so.
In Titus's introduction scene, we get this massive lens flare that for a moment made me think J.J. Abrams directed it.
Yes, I see the correlation. I think it's important to point out really quick that as our guests to the quote, and I'm doing air quotes with my hands right now, quote, resort, unquote, are showing up, and this thing is just a house. I mean, it is barely a house. It's got a microwave and a lot of wood paneling, and in no way, shape, or form does it say resort in any way.
So the next person to the house, the next guest is Jackson P. Jackson. And Paul, what's the P stand for?
God damn it.
Pissed off.
This is actually David Wascavage. The writer and director.
I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, that's him.
Can I
Everyone
say
else were just
Can I
buddies.
Say why he's pissed off?
Sure.
Because he crashes his car and it's very clear that it's done with complete practical effects.
it's so much CGI smoke, you literally can't see what's going on. So that's how they hide it.
God.
But he's up there. He's there to redevelop the whole area. He's driving through like the subdivision, talking crap.
He wants parking lots everywhere.
Get out of the 70s. Now if I can only get that incense-sniffing, broccoli-eating bitch to sign on the dotted line, I'd have that property.
So he gets there, introduces himself, and says, I'm Jackson P. Jackson.
JPJ.
Yep, JPJ.
Pretty funny stuff.
Paul, shut the fuck up.
Titus is chowing down. Jade's making some broccoli and cheese.
Well, hey, wait. I got to say something about this broccoli and cheese. Because when she pulls that bowl out of the microwave, there is nothing in it. She's microwaving goddamned air.
So Jade calls Roger about some ants.
God damn it.
As she's on the phone, Silas, our scientist, shows up with his
overly large protective
case.
I want to step back a moment. When Jade calls Roger about the ants, we're cutting away to Silas driving in his car. Like, I thought she was calling Silas or some shit. Like, what is even happening? It's so confusing.
It's cut really poorly.
Terribly.
If I drank every time I thought I knew what the edit was about, I would die.
So Silas shows up out front. This is a big moment in the film, guys. He walks up on the front porch. He trips.
Oh, in the most unconvincing trip I have ever seen in my entire life.
The overly large protective case that was used for the camera breaks open. The vial, the one vial in there, cracks, or it opens. And the serum, if you will, goes in between the boards of the deck. And Silas crawls down there to look under it, and he sees it dripping on mushrooms. And then I actually wrote in my notes, boom, aspect ratio change.
But I just want to say, it's not like falling on, spilling onto like mushrooms that are growing under the porch. It's like someone bought a box of the cheapest button mushrooms they could find and dropped them, accidentally dropped them under the porch somehow.
Yeah.
And they didn't even spring for good mushrooms. It's like they could have gone with some like portobellos or shiitake or something good. Now, these are the cheapest ass button mushrooms you can find.
Also, I just want to say, and Chris Hudson, I know you know a little something about this. If you have a cure, a very important cure or a very important something in a vial, you put it in a case that will not, so that it won't go flying if the case comes open. Maybe if they had put a little styrofoam padding in that thing, we wouldn't have gotten the rest of the movie.
Well, not just that. So, if you put a stopper that actually fit the test tube storing your mushroom serum, it's not going to spill even if it does fall out of the
case. It's almost like this guy wasn't a very good scientist.
He was terrible.
Guys, I have an idea I want to pitch at you, and feel free to edit this out if you don't like this. But why don't we start taking all the money we're making from this podcast, because it's coming in like crazy.
I swim in it every night.
Why don't we start making movies, B-movies, under the B-Movie Mania moniker, where we just solve all the problems from B-movies, and each movie's 5 minutes.
That's a great idea.
I see an anthology movie.
Are you suggesting, Mike, that we become Pulp Fiction's The Wolf of B-movies?
Yeah.
We're going to cut to Roger now, who is the guy that's supposed to take care of the ants.
Favorite scene.
This is your favorite scene?
This is my favorite scene of the movie.
Well, take it away.
I don't know what it is, but when I watch, and I watch a lot of these sort of shot on video, 80s, 90s, whatever, low budget horror movies, I love the little moments. And I love this just little moment of him spraying for bugs, you know, spraying for the fire ants or whatever they were. We're treated to just sort of a nice 30-second shot of him just doing his job. And to me, that's what makes this movie fun, those little moments.
I got a great arachnophobia vibe from that scene. You know,
yeah.
John Goodman spraying for the mushrooms.
Interesting. Mm. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, Paul, you're right. That was a nice, quiet little scene.
Right.
And meanwhile, all of our guests are on the couch in the house. And Silas doesn't know what a beer is.
Oh, God.
Titus is drinking a beer, and Silas is like, beer?
What's that? It's called a beer, man. Beer? Jeez, is this guy for real?
But then right after it, he says, oh, people were drinking that when I was in college or something like that. So it's like he says he doesn't know what it is, but then immediately references what it is.
Well, that's because he focused on his work all through college, Jay, and didn't have time for such mundane, quote-unquote, popular activities such as drinking beer. And then he goddamn chugs it.
Can I propose a second theory?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Go on,
that
Mike.
Maybe the person who thought of saying that line was a fucking idiot and not funny. How about that?
Wow. What a well-reasoned theory.
Paul, since you love Roger so much, you want to go back to Roger and tell us what happens to him?
Yeah, well, the tragic part about this is that sweet moment of him doing his job and taking care of this ant problem is relatively short-lived. Maybe he spots something underneath the deck, but he kind of gets underneath there and is trying to spray when we kind of get our first case of fungicide, and he meets a grisly end.
Yeah. And did we point out yet that this is like David was Cavage in a really bad wig?
Did you think it looked bad? Were you not convinced?
Can we take a vote?
I'm not,
can we take a vote if it was bad or not?
I don't hate this movie like Mike does.
No, I vote not bad.
What I wonder is if that fake beard actually was part of the $142 budget for this movie, or if he just had it laying around the house.
Great question.
But I could see either one.
That's a great, yeah. So slightly after Roger dies, they decide, the people in the house decide, they're all going to go for a walk. And Jade finds Roger's truck out there, and she's like, oh, that's weird. And they're walking down the road, and they're pointing things out. And then an army man pops out of the bushes. No, no, with an awkward zoom.
Jay, as an army man, I have to say,
okay, Chris
was an army.
Chris, you were an army. Why don't you tell us how this goes?
He was not an army man. He what? Says he was what a soldier. Yeah, well, he was clear by the headgear. He was clearly a Marine, but someone called him a soldier, and he didn't really react negatively to that because Marines aren't soldiers. So, strike one against the movie.
Was that a dig? Was that a dig on Marines?
No, no, no. They will be the first ones. They're Marines. They're not soldiers.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, okay. Yeah. Well. Anyway, this is homicidal maniac Major Wang.
Major Wang. And he's talking about how he's on a reality show. And you see David Waskavage again as a cameraman hiding in the woods. And the prize money is, he says, it's 500 Gs, which is more money than I'll ever see. Which means, doesn't that mean he's not going to win? Like, he's on a competition reality show. It's just a weird line. And then I think it's Titus says, with a name like Wang, I'm sure you get 100%.
When you reach my rank, you give 100%.
Yeah, with a name like Wang, I'd imagine you get 100%.
Shut your word hole, Private.
What?
What does that mean?
Maybe they didn't want to, like, make it too dirty sounding. Maybe it was implying that he gets a lot of pussy, but they didn't want to, like, go full tilt with it.
Probably.
Wait,
but
Paul, are you trying to tell me that Colonel Wang gets, he does a little bit of a smishy the pishy?
Again, we have the cameraman scream, and the cameraman for the reality show dies, and he's drugged through the woods, and Major Wang runs in to check and comes back with a bloody camera, and they all go back to the house.
So wait, at this point, I thought, I mean, if this movie weren't called Fungicide, and if these this was made by Fungicide, well, you know, I'm just going by how the song says it, okay?
It's Fungicide.
If Major Wang is running out of the forest with the cameraman's camera and blood on his hands, I think Wang did it. I think Wang killed the dude.
Wang's the killer.
Yeah, he's a killer. Later events would kind of bear that out, really.
He is kind of a psychopath.
He is. Not just kind of, he is.
He was basically caught red-wanged.
Jade is chopping a piece of wood, but not really.
Well, she's not really chopping. She's more beating a stick with a dull axe. It.
Yeah, and then Jackson P. Jackson comes out and starts talking about how he's watched the entire area and her family for years, and they have a whole file.
Creeper.
He's a total creeper. And then Major Wang screams inside the house. They run back in. He just screamed for some reason. And then Jade starts cleaning off the VHS tape, and they show part of the reality show that the guy was recording with Wang talking about how he stole underwear.
Which looks great. The show looks great. Can we just say it?
Yes. Okay, everyone's talking. Silas keeps saying some really creepy, weird stuff. Jade goes to make everybody food, and she decides to serve the mushrooms, I don't know. But Major Wang flips out.
Because he doesn't know about the killer mushrooms yet. But Major Wang, he's seen the mushrooms.
Yeah, fuck off, Jake. She doesn't know about it. Listen to Chris.
The drama is too much, and Titus decides he wants to go for a walk. Chris, do you remember what happens to Titus in the woods?
How could you possibly forget?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God.
He gets shroom KO'd out of nowhere.
What the fuck? Tight ass just decided to pet the big mushroom. Now it's eating him and growling like a dog.
Yes.
Now, hold on.
He pets a mushroom.
Mushroom. But please describe the mushroom. Mushrooms.
It's
Thank
a hand
you.
Puppet. With a mouth, like
teeth
taped onto it.
Oh, it's sharp teeth. It is construction paper teeth, a scotch taped to a pillowcase. No, I have no problem with this. Like, I've been giving this movie a bunch of shit, but, like, I am so down to this fucking real garbage of the, like, really awesomely bad hand puppets. Like, that's great. Like, it's fun and silly. So, excuse me. I'm way into it.
Okay. So, this actually leads into one thing I liked. Titus goes running back to the house, and he shows the wound to everyone, and there's mushrooms, like, supposedly, like, I think what they're trying to do, mushrooms growing out of the wound around his leg, or they're, like, maybe they're little mushrooms gnawing on the wound or something.
Jay, why do you think that's what's going on?
Well, because I couldn't tell if they were supposed to be growing out of it or if they were just little ones that are latched on. They didn't really clarify that.
So the special effect was fine.
Well, it was literally mushrooms like taped to his leg. And Major Wang gets his machete and cuts them off, and the little ones scream as he cuts them off.
I thought they should keep with that.
I did too. I think they should have done that. Anybody who gets wounded, like, they start like turning into a mushroom person or something.
No, that's pretty good.
And then pretty inexplicably, Jay just tells everyone to relax. So Titus and Major Wang go out back for some good old stick fighting in slow motion with changing aspect ratios.
Well, I'm glad to know those bite marks really didn't hamper Titus very much, because he's 100% the rest of the movie.
He's a professional wrestler, so, you know.
Works through the pain.
Okay, so Silas is going on about how he wanted to give intelligence to something. And while he's describing this, do you remember what it cuts to? This is probably one of the scenes that would stick out to your average viewer.
I don't specifically. If you want to give me a hint.
While Silas is mumbling, it cuts to a mushroom eating a dummy.
Oh, shit. God damn it. It's not just a dummy. It's a paper mache dummy. Like, yes. It is very bad.
And it is right front and center in the camera. It's not like they're trying to obscure it with, like, shot angle or lighting or something. It is a paper mache. Like, he's eating a pinata.
Chris, so this shot probably lasted about half a second, right? Just a quick cut to, then a cut away, right?
No.
It was longer than that.
They linger on
that. 10 seconds.
How?
I thought it was like a full minute and a half.
It was at least a full minute.
Eating
it was
a paper mache.
Fucking minute.
You know what gets me about this scene is that they couldn't figure out a way to film this with, like, maybe a live person, because they can't afford a real dummy, obviously. So, hey, let's figure out a way to, like, film it, shoot this scene with a real person. Nope, paper mache.
I don't understand who the person was supposed to be. Like, if you're going to make a dummy, it's supposed to be the body or whatever of one of the characters from the film, is it not?
Yeah.
I thought it was the cameraman, honestly.
That might be.
It doesn't matter who it was. The point is, it was a hand puppet eating a dummy, but it wasn't doing any damage to the dummy. Like, the dummy wasn't changing. Like, it was just gnawing on the dummy. You could have literally had a person laying there, and it could have chewed on the fucking person. It wouldn't have mattered. Right. It would have the same effect, and it wouldn't have looked as fucking shitty stupid as it.
Not to mention, for the amount of work that they went into building the dummy, they probably just could have walked down the road and got it like a neighbor or something.
Yeah.
Anybody! Just your dumb sister could have laid there and done it. Like, who fucking cares?
But Mike has a really good point. I noticed this too, because they do the dummy thing a couple times throughout the movie, and it's like, you just put your hand on a person's head. You're not hurting them. You don't even have to make the dummy.
No, it's not a real fucking monster mushroom. It's just a fucking hand puppet that's made out of construction paper and a bed towel.
Now, Mike, are you sure they didn't create a real man-eating mushroom that they didn't want to get too close to anyone's living flesh?
You know what? You know what? You know what, Chris? That's a valid point. I don't know that, so that's fair enough.
So, okay, as the mushroom is eating the dummy, or the hand puppet's eating the dummy, Titus sees it, and just with this great reaction, just goes, "We have a mushroom outside," like in the most plain, like, because that's all it deserves. Titus shouldn't have overacted that, because
Titus has the acting talent of a true wrestler.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
So Titus delivers this line. Silas runs outside and screams, "Come to me, your master," and Major Wang knocks him out from behind.
"Come to me! Come to me! Come to me, your master!"
See, this is the part I have the biggest problem with, because up until now, Major Wang has been total psychopath, and now he's just willing to knock. I mean, just moments ago, he wanted to kill Silas.
Yeah.
And now he's just knocking Silas out and tying him up. I don't believe
well,
it.
Okay, he's on the way to killing
this,
him.
This leads to my favorite scene of the film. So they tie Silas to a chair, and while he's unconscious, he starts fantasizing about feeding the puppet and spending time with the mushroom. He's like sitting at the dinner table feeding the mushroom some like cereal like it's a baby.
It's a montage. So,
then he's playing video games with the mushroom and playing cards with it and reading it a bedtime story. He's reading this mushroom a bedtime story. I just thought that was the funniest thing. That, to me, was honestly funny.
Mike, how do you feel? Uh-oh.
That's Mike's gunshot. Hey,
while Mike's bleeding out, I just have to say that the mushroom beat Silas at whatever video game they were playing.
Well, maybe Silas let the mushroom win.
I think you let him.
So Silas wakes up. He's laughing crazily, and
what's that sound like, Jay?
And Major Wang wants to kill him. And then Silas says that the mushrooms have absorbed the intelligence of their victim. So that's
well,
a major twist.
Makes total sense.
I thought that. I mean, I know it doesn't make any goddamn sense at all, but I thought it was kind of cool. I thought that that's, you know, at least they're trying to come up with some interesting angles here.
Yeah, I agree. Wang looks out the front door and there's a mushroom. I mean, he opens the door and it's just like little mushroom sitting there out and he just shuts the door. Then they hear noises on the roof and this is where things start to pick up. So buckle up because
okay.
The giant mushroom, the big one, it jumps right through the glass door.
Oh, you mean the person in a bed sheet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mike, what was that big mushroom made out of? How was that how did that look?
Oh, I saw the recipe online for it. It said, let me look it up real quick. Okay. Yeah. One bed sheet, two parts, Home Depot cardboard box.
You didn't look at it. You didn't find this on the internet.
I got it right here, Paul. I'm reading it. Fuck off. Two parts pillowcase. One part sadness and regret, and just the ability to not give fucking any shits. Okay, well there you go.
Well, okay, so that's about what it looked like. Yeah. And the thing I liked about this is it crashes through the door, and Wang says, he like literally says it's only a mushroom, like it's no big deal.
Well, you know what? I think what it is he's not really surprised to see it burst through any shower of CGI glass. Because they've only had screen doors the entire time.
That's true. And so Wang, like, goes to fight. And, like, the mushroom wins, right? Like, it starts wailing on everybody.
Oh, like, but the mushroom has arms, by the way. Yes, the mushroom has arms out of the stalk of it. Little weird, like, they took two other pillowcases and went, let's put some thumbs in there and, like, make hands. Because that's like, what happens with mushrooms.
It gets Titus in a wrestling move and Titus starts tapping out.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Well, it beats him with a steel chair at first.
Yeah. That was a little something for the wrestling fans right there. He's tapping out, which he better not tell any of his buddies that he tapped out to a fucking mushroom.
And then, Chris, do you remember when the mushroom turns and it shoots like it's...
It's jizz.
It's like silly string just jizzing out of its body and like
all over Titus, all over Major Titus. Wang.
It is so fucking...
Hey, that won't be Titus, that won't be the last time we see a mushroom ejaculate in this movie.
Oh, no. It happens a lot from here on out.
Official hashtag mushroom ejaculate.
Nice.
Hashtag shroom jizz.
All right. So Titus picks up a machete and stabs it, and it sprays like CGI whatever, spores or something. And then Jackson P. Jackson comes out of the bathroom, and he's just like, what's going on? Let's see. What happens next?
He's the type of name where you got to say his full name every time.
At this point, like then we're introduced to lots of big CGI mushrooms.
Terrible CGI mushrooms.
They at this point, it's almost kind of another montage, if you will, of the mushrooms just creating havoc all over the place.
If by all over the place you mean a graveyard. Some dude camping in the woods and a prostitute, the rural prostitute.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I loved this because you see the dude camping and drinking and he just thinks the mushroom is cute.
Come here, fella. God. Come on, come on over here, little fella.
I'm just here drinking my beer. Well, hi, little fella.
Doesn't the mushroom break the fourth wall before he kills the camper?
Probably.
Oh,
I think he does.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I want to mention something about that prostitute, too. She is standing in an empty parking lot in the middle of nowhere.
Well, right, but so how does the, how does she die, Paul?
Oh, my God.
Chris is laughing the most, so I'm going to pass it to him.
Chris, how did she die?
All right, so we've already established that mushrooms can absorb the skills of those they've killed. But we see a car drive up to this woman in the middle of nowhere. Roll the window down. She walks up, you know, looking for a little fun. Doesn't even care that the driver has a bit of a mushroom head.
So to speak.
It's a giant mushroom.
The mushroom is driving a car.
So she dies, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she gets eaten by the mushroom, who, again, I just want to say, the mushroom knows how to drive a car.
Yes. And this is also about the point where one of the mushrooms goes into the graveyard and shoots its spores everywhere.
Brings CGI other ones, mists?
Other mushrooms are raising up out of the ground. And my favorite thing about this part is it's really windy. And so you can see the sheet blowing around the figure of the person.
You can see his ass, like the outline of his ass.
Yes. So this person in a mushroom costume is trying to walk through the graveyard, and you just see the sheet blowing around their ass.
God.
You know,
I lost it.
What's interesting, too, about that scene is that technically those are zombie mushrooms.
Yes. Yes, they would be zombie mushrooms, which also just kind of builds on my, it's like Night of the Living Dead with mushrooms.
Right.
So, yeah, pretty much at this point, for some reason, maybe Titus had too much beer, but he's got to go pee. And here we see the brand new toilet brush that David Westcavage had to buy. He puts it to good use by bashing the small one that comes out of the toilet.
But I just want to say, he just doesn't seem that upset that the mushroom is growing out of the toilet.
No, he's not. He doesn't really seem to care.
You know, when you're a wrestler, you're on the road, you see a lot of shit. I mean, these things happen.
He's probably beat back worse things with a toilet brush. But so then one of the shrooms bites the power line.
See, at this point, I thought that the mushroom started feeding on electricity and they didn't need to eat people anymore. And then I thought the movie ended. We get a blank screen. Movie's over.
I remember that part.
Oh, no.
I remember that part. I was watching this movie with my girlfriend. I remember that part where the mushroom bites the power cord, and she goes, God, they can't even make that look good.
But then, the lights pretty much just come back on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the generator kicks in.
Yeah. And then, Chris, I think we get to the small ones, the barnacle-looking mushrooms that you were referencing earlier.
Yeah, when they're growing on the house, and Titus decides to take that fake-ass cardboard machete and just kind of chop them off the house.
Hey, now, don't be too hard on cardboard machetes, Chris.
No, our cardboard machete looked really good. This one looked like cardboard. I just want to say, at this point, this is where the static mushrooms come in.
Yeah, I was like, what? Why are they TV static?
Yes, at this point we see rainbow ones, TV static mushrooms.
All CG.
All CG. And this is no exaggeration. Like, that's what you're dealing
that's
with here.
What it looks like.
Yeah. And so there's lots of day for night shooting here happening, and like CGI moons and stuff. And then they decide to have a powwow.
Well,
and Silas and everybody sits around and they start telling mushroom stories.
Well, first I want to say, did Titus get bored of fighting mushrooms? Because he's out kicking ass, knocking all the mushrooms off the house. And next thing you know, he's back in the house and they're going to tell mushroom stories.
Probably just because he needed to relax.
Yeah,
I assume it's kind of a Night of the Living Dead situation where they've kind of tried to barricade themselves in because there's so many out there now.
Well, when you're barricading yourself in with screen doors, that's very effective.
Those mushroom stories, though, Jay, They were not very good. I mean, like, one of them was just like, what? I ate mushrooms one time.
Yeah. Jackson says, Jackson P. Jackson goes, I tried to sell a mushroom farm once, but no one wanted to buy it.
Cool story, bro.
So in the morning, a mushroom pukes up a skeleton.
Who's that is the best, the best CGI, the best effect in the entire movie. Saying it puked up a skeleton really
undersells it.
It's so amazing. Undersells the whole thing because it makes a whole sound. And the skeleton just shoots out of it. And the physics involved in the simulation of the skeleton falling on the ground and the bones just swooping off the screen. And the skull goes off screen, out of frame for a moment, then kind of comes back. It doesn't roll. It's more of a float kind of thing.
It's almost and like they rotoscoped a skull for this.
God. Yeah.
And then if I remember right...
Don't bring it back to Fire and Ice.
Then if I remember right... The mushroom belches afterwards? Like,
I think so. I believe so.
You know, these things don't burp when they eat things. They only burp when they vomit, I guess.
So Chris, while this one's puking up a skeleton, Major Wang wants everyone to move out, right?
Oh, yeah.
But do you remember why Jackson doesn't want to leave?
Oh, I didn't write that down.
He won't leave the dangerous area unless he has his coffee in the real estate section of the newspaper.
God damn it, yeah.
Yeah, he is very firm in his beliefs. He needs these things to operate.
And this leads us to another major, I feel, turning point in the movie, when Jade drops her sort of hippie persona.
Oh, yeah, this is the joke that I think the entire movie was written for.
Yes, who wants it?
Chris.
Well, Major Wang brings out all these toy guns that are going to shoot the mushrooms with, which might have been useful earlier, but, you know, hey, I'm not here to nitpicks. So Major Wang's handing out the toy guns, and Jade she's all hippie, and she kind of walks away, because I thought, at first, she's against guns. But she goes into her bedroom and comes out as sexy ass-kicking Jade, who is here to kick some fungus.
Let's kick some fungus.
Yeah.
There it is.
Look, I mean, every character, every good character in a movie needs an arc. And so that's really her story.
Well, by arc, you mean just like a step up a step. Then yeah. But also, Chris, you made a better joke than anything in this fucking movie.
Okay, so they decide... This is kind of a rude maneuver, but they decide to just leave Silas here. They're going to escape and just leave him behind.
Okay, he's all tied up because Wang didn't kill him, so he's just tied up now.
Right, he's just tied up. So the big shrooms are raising more up from the ground, and now it's time for pretty much the all-out fight.
Well, even the little shrooms are rising up from the ground and just growling like dogs, like little button mushrooms. Just rawr, rawr.
I have to say, I feel like the fight could have been a little longer.
Dude, that fight was like 10 minutes. It just went on.
Oh my God.
On.
But, well, I think part of the reason why the fight went on so long is because there's apparently some sort of like mushroom wizard raising mushrooms from the dead.
Oh, sort of, God.
It's like a mushroom necromancer.
One of them uses the force.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He grabs the stick.
He grabs a staff and starts fighting with Major Wang.
God damn it.
This whole scene is a mess. God. Like, when Titus kills one and it disappears, like, you have Jackson gets knocked down and he's all just covered in the... jizz. Titus gets shot with it once and it like burns him, but that doesn't really ever nothing happens there. And then Jade's like choking one. There's a mushroom that's like farting little mushrooms onto Titus.
So bad.
They bust out those guns pretty hard too. There's a lot of gunfire.
Well, when they're using the guns and they run out of ammo, they don't quite believe that they're out of bullets yet, because they keep pulling the trigger over and over and over again.
The pistols are like machine guns. And we're kind of, you know, glossing and moving through this fight, but it seriously takes probably a good 10 minutes for all this stuff to happen.
It takes too long.
The next major plot point is Jackson P. Jackson gets his finger bit off. And then one of the big shrooms uses the staff and, like, knocks his hand off and then just beats his head apart, right? Like, doesn't that, doesn't it, like, hit him in the head and it, like,
yeah,
I think they must have used the dummy again.
I think they did. But this just shows me that I think the mushrooms really wanted to get into real estate, and the best way to get those skills was to absorb them from Jackson P. Jackson.
That was what it was about all along. They wanted to get the land so that they could grow for their people.
It makes sense. You know what? Give them some land.
I'm going to add 10 points to my score just for that.
Oh, I can't wait to get to the ratings. So, okay.
We're close.
After about 10 minutes, the crew finally decides to run. They get into a car. Paul, what do they find in the car?
Balsamic vinegar.
What happens with the balsamic vinegar?
Well, they come to the realization at some point that balsamic vinegar, and maybe it's right here when they come to the realization, that balsamic vinegar will actually kill the mushrooms. Vinegar... And this is some real science at work here. There's some science shit. Vinegar has some sort of reaction to mushrooms.
I gotta say, as a home cook, I love mushrooms drizzled with balsamic vinegar. But you have to be very careful because the mushrooms will completely explode and destroy your kitchen if you add a little too much.
So is this when they figure out what they need to do in order to destroy all of them?
Yep.
Well, yeah, she takes a little bottle of vinegar that's balsamic vinegar sitting in the car,
right? It looks more like Gatorade, really. But yeah, hey, balsamic, whatever.
And she throws it on the mushrooms and they see it, and then Major Wang goes, of course they'd have an aversion to balsamic vinegar. Why?
And he's like, okay. He's like, we need to find more of this. We need to find more balsamic vinegar. And Jade goes, I have a barrel of balsamic vinegar in my basement. A barrel.
Yes.
Like the size of like a whiskey barrel. Like a 4 foot tall barrel of balsamic vinegar.
Have you guys not ever made balsamic vinegar at home?
I sure haven't, Mike.
Well, they also don't sell it in anything smaller than that. So, you got to buy it in a barrel. So,
like she got that at Costco or something.
No, that's his regular stores, Paul.
Mm. That's Kroger, Paul. That's Kroger. Yeah.
Costco's selling it in huge crates.
They decide they have to go back and get this giant barrel of, or standard size grocery store barrel of, of balsamic vinegar. And they're outside the house, and that's when we have a tragic moment.
It's a sad moment. I actually cried at this part.
Tragic or heroic?
Did they?
Both. I think there's a little bit of both.
But ultimately futile, really.
Well, true. Titus offers to hold them off while the other two go get the balsamic vinegar. And he does this, and we find out at this moment that he wasn't kidding about having a spontaneous combustion problem because he drops his pills, the anti-combustion pills.
Yeah.
And he explodes.
Like, what I love about this is seemingly if he doesn't take his pills at the exact time he's supposed to, game over. He's going to spontaneously combust almost immediately.
By God, he spontaneously combusted. I mean, that man had a family.
I will say that I took a little bit of issue with that part right there because, like, Titus spends the previous 15 minutes killing, like, 200 mushrooms. And then there's 6 of them around him. And he's like, well, looks like I'm going to have to spontaneously combust.
Yeah, they should have covered him in mushrooms.
It's what happens when I go to work every day.
Okay, so we officially have missed the part where there's a million little tiny mushrooms around on the ground, which is
barking
represented
like dogs
by little blurry white balls that have been CGI'd on the ground.
No. They weren't CGI. They were actual button mushrooms that you buy from the store. Like, they couldn't spring for anything fancy.
No, you... Chris, you can fuck off. Those were... those were the worst CGI fucking attempt I've ever seen.
Oh, those mushrooms. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, I remember what you're talking about.
They walk out into this yard, and it's just like these... They don't stay in the same spot. They float around because the camera moves. And it's just these weird, fluffy little, like, dandelion-looking things that just... are. They're like, oh, these mushrooms are everywhere. Sorry, I just fucking was so pissed off about that. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so this we're at about the climax here. So they open the door to Jade's basement, and sure enough, there's a barrel of balsamic
vinegar. I don't know if I'd go that far. Keeping in mind that the budget was $142 or whatever it was, they had to CGI the barrel of balsamic vinegar.
Yes.
Balsamic, good balsamic is expensive.
Luckily, Major Wang has a wick in his pocket. God. So they decide to use Major Wang's wick to just set off the barrel right there.
Well, he keeps it in his
balsamic vinegar.
What do you mean set off the barrel, Jay?
It explodes like a bomb. That's
Why?
What they're planning.
Why does it do it?
I don't know.
It tastes like,
guys, as a home cook, you have to be very careful with your balsamic vinegar. I keep mine surrounded with padding, so any little jostle doesn't make it explode like dynamite. I want to keep my kitchen and my life intact.
If you guys have, if anyone out there has ever seen Star Trek VI, at the very beginning when the Klingon moon Praxis explodes, it looks exactly like there are balsamic vinegar shock waves that just go out over the mountain.
The whole CGI mountain.
Wait, guys, I'm having this thought right now. Wait a minute. Was it balsamic vinegar this whole time, or was it bombsonic vinegar? Which would make more sense.
Mike, that is really stupid. There's no such thing as bombsonic vinegar. Come on.
Fair
Come
enough.
On, Mike. Then quit trying to dumb down this movie, Mike.
I'm sorry. Then the movie was just
We want to
brilliant.
Keep with established liquids that any home may have.
I was trying to help this fucking thing out.
Well, let me help you along here, Mike. Major Wang and Jade survive, and they limp off into the woods. And then we skip a year ahead. Very bold move.
Yeah.
Battlestar borrowed
that's nice.
Yes.
Ronald D. Moore is a big fan of fungicide.
Paul, what happens at the strip mall?
Well,
they're at a strip mall.
No, they are not at a... Maybe they're at a strip mall, but they are in the bookstore... And
No, Paul, they're not in the bookstore. They're in the bookstore called Bookstore.
Bookstore. And Jade and Major Wang, our two survivors, have seemingly written a book, a tell-all book.
A bestseller, even.
A bestseller.
Yes.
And called Fungicide. And they are there signing copies of the book for their legions of fans.
Yes. And I love Jade's line in this scene. She goes, "Some people laugh at us because we fought mushrooms, but we lost a lot of friends that day." What? No, you didn't.
I have more friends doing this podcast with me, and I wouldn't even call that a lot.
Yes. Let's just say it's not very convincing that there's a lot of fans there.
Right. But one fan does show up, and that is Silas. He escaped the mushrooms by himself, and now he has an apple. And he starts laughing creepily again.
Why? I don't get that.
I don't know.
Paul, it's to set up the sequel. Apple side.
Dirt. Good God.
An apple a day? Keep everyone away.
And he starts laughing and licking the apple. And it just keeps cutting to a bunch of just different random shots. And Wang and Jade are surprised to see him, obviously. And Silas keeps laughing. And then it cuts to black. The end. Apple Mike, cider. That's the next one.
Mike, are you trying to say something to me?
No.
So, okay. For all you fungicide fans out there, fungicide.
No, there's no one!
the movie is actually only like 85 minutes long or something like that, but there's a bunch of extras after the movie, including like bloopers and a warning that says no mushrooms were harmed in the making of this film.
That's real funny.
There are a few alternate edits, which I thought were very informative.
Definitely worth it to check it out. If you're going to go through and you're going to watch this movie, just watch all of it.
Well, especially because of, you know, what Chris's favorite part is. You got to stay for the music video.
Yes, the
if you want to call it that.
The full theme, fungicide.
Fuck off.
And that's what I'm going to call the song. it plays after the movie, and you're going to want to catch that. It will get stuck in your head. I know it's been in my head for like a week.
Great stuff.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And just so you guys know, when we're talking about leaving this open for sequels and stuff, I read an interview with David Westcabbage.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Hold on.
Ooh, is this,
oh,
yeah, is this, oh, the, yeah, titillating, no, piece of info,
no,
you
found
out?
Here we
go. No.
Are you ready?
No.
He said...
No.
He did the CG because there's no way he would be able to get 20 people in mushroom costumes for the movie. He also knew...
That
overtly CGI...
Solution?
He said, I also knew... that the overtly CGI look to the mushrooms would be explained in the sequels.
What?
Wow.
Yes, he said that.
Sequels, plural? Wow.
Wait.
I'm getting visions of James Cameron's Avatar here.
Yeah, no, I'm very interested in this. Like, fuck this movie, but I'm interested in this.
Yes.
Okay.
He also said in a 2011 interview, he said that he was converting the original fungicide to 3D.
Yeah, I saw that. No, just don't.
Yeah, don't do that. Do
if
the
I
sequels.
Was made to watch that, I would actually literally kill myself.
On that happy note, let's do rating time.
Rating time.
On a scale of 1 to 100, how many barrels of balsamic vinegar,
of course,
do you give fungicide, Chris?
All right. You know, I came into this tonight thinking I would give it in something in the low to mid 70s. But talking about it tonight, and the song is still in my head.
It's Undecide.
Wow.
You know, if you're watching this with friends, I mean, okay, it'll be my score would be a little bit lower if you're watching it by yourself. But if you're watching it with friends with lots of balsamic vinegar to drink, you know, you will give this movie at least 80 barrels of balsamic.
80.
Oh, fuck, what?
Did that just happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That just happened.
Oh.
This was so good.
Oh, wow. I mean...
Not while you're watching it. I mean, it sucks while you're watching it, but once you're finished with it, and the way it sticks with you, and little scenes will just pop into your mind, and you will just laugh in the middle of doing the most boring bullshit you're doing in your life. It's like, oh yeah, that was really great. Now that it's over.
Wow.
Yeah. 80.
Wow. Okay. That's a great breakdown, Chris. Thank you. Paul, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, the reason that I like this movie and the reason that I like that we reviewed this movie is that it really kind of challenges the rating system, I think. Or at least challenges the way that I rate things. And basically what it boils down to is, like I said towards the top of the show, I think this is easily the worst movie that we've reviewed yet on B-Movie Mania. But I had a lot of fun watching it. I thought that, you know, like Chris said, if you have some friends together, it's a good time. And so that's kind of how I look at things. Even if something is really poorly executed, which this certainly was, I still had a decent amount of fun watching it because of how just stupid it was and how over the top it was. So that, with that in mind, I'm going to go 66 barrels of balsamic vinegar.
Very nice. Very nice.
It wasn't, you know, it certainly wasn't the most enjoyable thing I've ever seen in my life. There was a lot of parts where it was like, oh, God, and, you know, difficult to get through. But at the end of the day, I had a smile on my face.
Very nice. Mike, are you still breathing?
Barely. Do you want to know my review? I know I threatened to give it a 1. I won't give it a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen it twice now.
That's it?
Locked in a hotel room by myself. What really bothered me was the fucking... wouldn't it be funny jokes that happened throughout this whole fucking thing that made this whole fucking movie up. But now I did very much enjoy the person in a blanket that was a mushroom or the weird hand puppet that was a mushroom. I didn't like the glowing balls that CGI mushroom. That was kind of really stupid and shit. But I mostly hated most of everything that was going on. So I'm going to give it a 20.
Ouch. Okay. All right. Wow. All right. That's a
That is a lot higher than I expected.
Well, for me, I also laughed a lot at this movie, and I think that's kind of what they were going for. I think they wanted to make you laugh. I don't think they had any illusions about what they were doing or what skill level they were on. This was just like, they presented this movie and said, here's where we started. I can identify with that a little bit. So I had a good time watching it. Again, I thought it was quirky and funny. It's super low budget. I totally get that it's a challenge for some people to watch, but I just keep thinking about it and I keep joking about it. And I keep singing that damn song.
Fungicide.
So I'm going to give it a 73.
And you know, the thing is, I mean, you know what we're about on this podcast. So David Wiscavige, if you're somehow listening, good on you, man. Like, you made a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you did it.
Yeah, I would love to actually talk to him if he wanted to reach out and, you know, maybe we could do an interview with him or something.
Yeah. Well, that'd be great. My low review doesn't mean I don't respect anyone who makes a movie. Like, it's fucking hard as shit. Like, I talked about before, even as a high school or college student, making a fucking shitty movie was hard still, right? Like, mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to be honest, like, watching it, I didn't like it. But I don't think anyone would like my old shit either. Like, I think I'm sure he's learned, and it's a great thing, and it was a fun experience. But, I didn't like it.
That's fine. I mean, and, yeah. You know, I think what's interesting about this podcast, too, is you, with all of our ratings, you definitely get a sense of kind of what we like and what we don't. And, you know, yeah. We just...
Well, that's why
know,
we average it out. And we do. You get a nice average, and it's good.
I'm going to be happy to... He has another movie that he did after Fungicide called, what is it, Jay? Suburban Sasquatch?
Yep.
No, now I'm into that. I want to watch it. So, see? Here's the thing. I gave it a low score, but I still want to fucking watch that.
Exactly.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it does,
yeah, exactly.
Not,
and yeah. It's some of the same people, too. So I'm down, I'm down for that.
Hopefully no one thinks I was being a dick about it. I didn't enjoy watching it.
No, I get where you're coming from, because I've probably said on this show before that I don't really go for tongue-in-cheek stuff. So I get where you're coming from, Mike.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania...
Dear B-Movie listeners, maniacs, if you will, have you ever been a teen? Have you ever been a teen who's been unstuck in time, traveling in the world with a Doctor Who ripoff? Well, guess what? You can vicariously live through the life of Josh Kirby if you want to. He's a time warrior. We're going to watch Josh Kirby, Time Warrior.
I have no idea what this is, but it sounds like fun.
Charles Band's company made a bunch of fucking teen kid movies.
This is Band?
Oh,
Charles
God
Band, yes.
It.
This is fucking wow. Charles Band.
Wow. Band doing teen films.
These movies came out in the mid-90s. This one specifically is in 1995. It's a six-part series with Josh Kirby, Time Warrior. And it is so Doctor Who-centric. It is fucking insane. It is... Hudson, you're gonna shit yourself. You either are gonna give us a really good review because it's so like spot on, or a real bad review because it's such a ripoff.
I am looking forward to this one. Oh yeah.
All right, guys, that's gonna do it for this episode of B Movie Mania. We hope you had fun. Just side with us. Okay, bye.
Fun just side.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Hello? Hello? You still there? Will that complete your order? Hello? This is Domino's. Hello? Anyone there? Hello? Lloyd? Hello? Hello?
Hashtag shroom jizz. Ha, 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 ha.